Hello and welcome to Why Family Based Solutions Podcasts. Today is the 6th of May 2019 and I'm Florence Kundring. In today's podcast, I would like to talk about the outcomes of institutional care. This means what happens to children who grew up in institutions and then aged out, as they say. When they turn 18, they need to leave the institution, go out on their own, and live the rest of their lives. But how do they do? What are the outcomes of having grown up in an institution, and how do they fare in life? Over time, I have worked together with several adults who grew up in institutions when they were children. They held various positions in the organizations that I worked with. Often they felt that they owed something to society or to the specific institution that they grew up in and wanted to give something back by working as a social worker or taking another job inside the institution. Most of these young adults that I've met that I was aware had grown up in institutions were between age probably 22 and 30 years old. In some cases, they were quite willing and even eager to talk about their past in institutions. In other cases, they were more reticent, and it took me a longer time to find out that they had actually grown up in institutions. And of course, it is possible that I have worked with people who I'm not aware of did grow up in orphanages or institutions. All of the people that I am aware lived in institutions for some time in their life ended up in the institutions after age 10. And this is very significant because, as we've discussed before, both in podcasts and in blogs, it's in the first 10 years of life that the foundation of the brain is laid, and that the brain development, if it goes wrong in that time because essential needs are not met, the effects will be much more severe because it will lead to essentially holes in the foundation of the brain, which means that even if you build something great on top of a foundation with holes in it, it's always going to cause problems. So in a way, it's not surprising that all of the people I'm aware of grew up in institutions that I worked with that held positions of responsibilities in various organizations were actually in the institution at a relatively later age, in their teenage years rather than in their childhood years. In some cases, I was aware that the person had lived in an institution and grown up in an institution, and I was not aware of from what age they were. But by seeing how they were coping and how well adjusted they were, I would have been very surprised to find out that they had entered the institution before age 10. And in each case, it was actually confirmed later on that it was after age 10 that they ended up in the institution. At the end of this podcast, I would like to talk a little bit more about the difference between ending up in the institution earlier and later, and some of early outcomes, you could say, that I've also seen. But first, I want to focus on the adults and how they were doing. Obviously, they were holding down a job. They had had a good education provided to them by the institution that they grew up in, and they held a position of responsibility. They cared for other people in different ways, either from a management perspective or from a teaching perspective or in different kinds of positions. But all of them did show very clear signs that there had been problems in the development of their personality, but particularly of their view of themselves. In the general population, it is also not uncommon to find people who have trouble taking initiative, who prefer to just follow orders, or who have trouble being assertive in putting forward their own opinions. Those are very common things to see. Similarly, there are plenty of people who have low self-confidence or low self-esteem. However, for example, one of the young adults, a young man that I worked with, showed a combination of these things to an extent that was much greater than you would see in general people, in the general population, usually speaking. So there was a combination of all of these things together, and what seemed to be a very deep-seated instinct to simply follow what was being said and to try not to think too much about what he felt about it himself. Even though this was a very intelligent man who clearly had a very good insight and recognized problems, he was extremely reticent in making his opinion known about things. And he was even more reticent in any group situation to put himself forward. He would be inclined to kind of take a step back whenever there was anyone else willing to talk or put forward an opinion, regardless of whether he agreed with that opinion or not. His teenage years in the institution had clearly drilled him for kind of conformity and taking orders, and it's kind of an institutionalized mindset. Now, this man himself was, when you talk to him about his past in the institution, was very positive about it. He would always tell stories about the adventures he had with his friends, and they were kind of like the cheeky boarding school adventures that you might read in children's books. And he gave a very positive narrative of his experience in the institutions. However, underneath, I could see that there was actually more that he was not willing to talk about, and I was fine giving him the decision as to what he wanted to share and what he didn't want to share. But for example, on one occasion when he was present while I provided training for others, on the part of the training where I talked about the impact of institutionalization and the effects of not having all essential basic needs met, I could tell that this had a very deep impact on him, which is not surprising when he has actually lived all those things himself. Whether or not he was conscious of the effects of them, he went through them, and then hearing those things detailed can be very, very challenging and very confronting. So even with someone who has a very positive narrative about his memories of his time in the institution, there was still clearly a layer underneath of something that did not feel quite as positive, and it clearly had an effect on the way he approached the world and the way he approached his job as well. Another adult that I knew who had grown up in an institution was not as reticent about talking about the negative experiences that she had had. She told me about some of the terrible things that had happened to her. She recounted episodes of beatings, of severe punishments, by being made to stand in the hot sun for hours, or by having to do very heavy or humiliating work. She described a whole array of punishments and abuses that she had gone through, even though at the same time she was also very grateful for the education that she was provided with, because she did not think that she would have had the choice to have that kind of education had she not been in the institution. But as I got to know her better and as we talked more, it turned out that her present life was still very much influenced by her experiences in the institution that she grew up in. She told me that at times she still has dreams where it's as if she experiences the abuses again rather than dreaming about them. But not only in her sleep is she affected by this. At times during the day, if there are certain elements in her surroundings that remind her of circumstances under which she had been punished, she gets a great fear and she becomes very, very anxious because she is ready to experience that again. And these can be very small things that people wouldn't think could possibly be the cause of anxiety. It's just that she recognized those things from situations where they were used against her. And this also impacts her reaction to what other people do and say sometimes. As well as that, unfortunately, she told me, as she was aware herself, that her self-worth and self-confidence is often lacking. She told me that she does at times feel like she's more of a burden than of someone who has a value and who can contribute something, because this is something she has been told so many times during her youth that it has creeped inside of her. She very much doubts her own worth and can feel very insecure, to the point where she told me she had made the initial arrangements for a suicide attempt at one point because she felt that the world was probably better off without her. That was the extent to which her self-worth had been broken down. Thankfully, in her case, circumstances got in the way of her actually going ahead with the suicide attempt. But it is a very, very striking thing to hear someone say, someone who appears on the surface to really have had it made, who had a good education, who has a good job, who is doing well, who is extremely bright and has an enormous amount of potential. But on the inside, there is something that has been broken down and that is very, very hard to fix again. And she's probably going to take many years and will need help from the outside to help her realize and confirm that she is valuable, that she does have a real purpose and a real value to other people as well in this life. And this is something that is hard to understand, how deep these things go. It's by coming across people who've actually experienced it, or by hearing their stories, as I'm trying to share with you now, that we can gain a better understanding of really what the effects are of not having those basic essential needs met, of not being acknowledged as a real person, but just being one tiny person in a very big group and always being addressed as one of the group. These things have a profound effect on people, and these people will need a lot of help. And as I said, these are the people who are lucky. These are people who ended up in an orphanage at an older age, past age 10, helping them do better. As I said before, I also want briefly to talk about some of the outcomes of children who ended up in institutions at a much younger age. I haven't spoken with adults who have had that experience. They are usually hard to find. They're usually in difficult circumstances. But in one of the large-scale institutions that I've been involved with, I have kind of seen the precursor of what the outcomes for the young adults are likely to be. In this large-scale institution, I have been trying to educate the staff and management for several years now of the effects of not meeting all essential basic needs and of having very few staff, very many children, and what that does to children and their brain development. And particularly a number of years ago, this was kind of waved away by many of those people because they said, we have people who grew up here and who've come back after a few years telling us about their wonderful jobs and their great new lives, and they are doing fine. The thing is that the people they were talking about at that time were the people who had arrived in the institution when it was relatively new and when it mostly took in older children, teenagers, to help them get an education. So those children, like the adults I was just talking about, did spend years in an institution, but first of all, at that time, the institution was much smaller and much more community-like, so these children really stayed inside regular life to a much larger extent. And secondly, they ended up in the institution later, so a large part of their brain development, and particularly the foundation of their brain, had developed properly because they had still been in a family situation in the earlier years. So these children had much better chances as young adults going back into the world because they were much better prepared for how to deal with the world. Now, a few years later, we are starting to see the effects that I was talking about because now there is a group of children who are in their late teens who arrived at a later stage, who arrived at a much younger age, usually in the early school years. So they have spent longer in the institution and from a younger age. And that means that the effect of not having their essential basic needs met is much greater. The impact is much deeper. And these children are not adults yet. They are in their late teens, so they haven't aged out. They haven't gone out into the world yet. But what I'm seeing happening in this institution right now is that some of these teenagers are sent home because the institution says they are too difficult and they cannot cope with their challenging behavior. So they send the children back to their families. This is a very sad state of affairs because, as I have mentioned before in previous podcasts and in blogs, the behavioral difficulties, which are real and which are very challenging, that are seen in these teenagers are the natural and inevitable consequence of having grown up in the situation they grew up in this institution. Their brain development did not take place as it should, and this is the effect of that. Now, for the institution to say, we can't cope with this, just go home, is really washing their hands of their responsibility. It was taking in these children and having them grow up in the institution that caused the problems in the brain development and the resulting behavioral challenges that are seen now. And for the institution then to just say, well, now I don't know anymore, and to dump that problem on the parents without any further support is really a very big problem. And I predict that the outcome of these children when they are adults are not going to be as good as the ones that I've discussed earlier, because they are already showing far, far greater problems than the young adults that I've worked with. I hope I'm wrong, but unfortunately it is not likely. A study has shown that young adults who grew up in an institution from a young age are 10 times more likely to end up in prostitution, 40 times more likely to end up with a criminal record, and 500 times more likely to kill themselves. These are very, very serious problems, and they do not come from an inherent badness of the child or a young adult. They come from having been denied the opportunity to grow up in a family, having not had their essential basic needs met, and the effects that that had on their brain development. So this is something that we are trying to avoid by moving towards family-based solutions. Thank you for listening, and keep educating yourself on how to help, not harm, vulnerable children, so we can keep moving towards family-based solutions for all children.